We're starting Hilchos Kibud Av Va'Em in Yeradeya, Chelek Gimel, Siman Reish Mem. So let's start with introduction. We have, of course, in the Ten Commandments. In Parshas Yisro, we have the fifth commandment. Says the very famous Pasuk. We all learned at a very young age, Kabeid Esavicha Ve'ezimecha, to respect one's father and mother. Lema'an ya'arichun yamecha alu adama asher Hashem elokecha no say lo. So that you will have a long life on the land that Hashem has given you. We have also in the second set of Dibros, in Parshas Va'eschanan, with slight changes, Kabeh Yisavicha v'esimecha, Kasher Tzivcha Hashem Elokecha, as Hashem has commanded you even before Matan Torah, in Mara, L'ma'an Yarichun Yamecha, U'lema'an Yitav Loch. Adds in, Kasher Tzivcha Hashem Elokecha, L'ma'an Yitav Loch, you'll have a long life, it'll be good for you, Al Ho Adama Asher Hashem Elokecha, no same Loch. Now, we know that the Aseres HaDibros, is Shnei Luchos, two sides of the Luchos. The right side is the Bin Adam LaMakom side. And the left side is the Bin Adam LaChavero side. And in the middle, we have basically number five, the bottom of the first side, is Kibud Av Va'Em. Now, the Gemara compares the Gemara in Kiddushin. So the Kibud Av Va'Em Sugya is not in Kiddushin, Dav Chavtes, Dav Lamed, and it compares respecting one's parents to respecting Hashem. Okay, it tells us that there are three partners in the making of man. There's a father, there's a mother, and there is Hashem. That's one braisa over there in Kiddushin Dav Lamed. There are three shutafim ba'adam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, va'aviv v'imo. And the braisa continues, Bezman she'adam mechabed es aviv ve'es imo, Kibud Av Va'Em is so important that when one respects his parents, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem says, Ma'ale ani aleihem ki ilu darti b'neihem v'kibduni. It's as if I lived in that house and they respected me. When we respect our parents, it's as if we're respecting Hashem. And that's what the Gemara over there goes on to say. It says, Kabed es Avicha v'Esimecha, we have to respect our parents. The Pasuk says, Kabed es Hashem mehoncha, you have to respect Hashem. We have a connection between respecting our parents, respecting Hashem. We have the same thing by fear. Ish imo v'aviv tira'u, we have to fear our parents. And we have es Hashem elokecha tira, fearing Hashem. And we have the terrible chait of one cursing his parents, and we have the terrible chait of cursing Hashem. And they are compared, and that's when the Brisa goes on to say, and it makes sense, because our parents are like HaKadosh Baruch Hu in our creation. They have brought us into this world, and therefore we have to respect them, we have to fear them, we can't, God forbid, curse them. The Gemara goes on to say that there should be a connection between hitting parents and hitting Hashem, but obviously it's not possible to hit Hashem. So there the connection ends. So our parents, on the one hand, are human, and it would seem like respecting our parents is a mitzvah ben adam lachavera. If that's the case, it should be on the left side of the luchos. Why is it on the right side of the luchos? So it seems to be on the right side of the luchos. Because, like we're saying, our parents are compared to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Respecting parents is like respecting Hashem. And therefore, it's like Min Adam Lamako. So it's kind of like the bridge. It's a combination of Min Adam Lachavero and Min Adam Lamako. The Minchas Chinuch has a question. Is Kibud Av Va'Em considered a mitzvah Min Adam Lachavero? Or is it considered a mitzvah Min Adam Lamako? What's the difference, he says? The difference is, if one did not respect his parents, does he have to ask them for mechila? When I insulted my friend, I spoke lashon hara about my friend, I have to ask my friend for mechila in order to get kapara. Yom Kippur is not mechaper, I'm ben adam mechavero, ad shi yiratze es chavero. until we appease our friends, we don't have the kapara of Yom Kippur. Person, God forbid, mechal Shabbos. He doesn't have to appease his friend. That's between him and Hashem. So how do we view the mitzvah of kibud av v'aim? Does he have to ask his parents for mechila? Or it's considered meinal lamakom, and it's not like your parents are not your friend. There's no achi yiratza as chaver. And he goes on to say, he has a suffix and says, okay, we should ask our parents for mechila. Perhaps those are the most important people to ask for mechila for before the Yom HaDin. When the Sefer HaChinuch brings down the mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Aim, he emphasizes that the mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Aim is built up, he has Mishar Sheh HaMitzvah. We keep mitzvahs because Hashem said. The HaChinuch gives, he doesn't want to call it the reason of time, he calls it Mishar Sheh HaMitzvah, from the root of the mitzvah, to give more of an understanding and appreciation to the mitzvah. So the HaChinuch writes that the mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Aim is built on Hakara Satok. If we appreciate our parents, we can appreciate Kadosh Baruch Hu. If a person doesn't appreciate his parents, he can appreciate Kadosh Baruch Hu. And we find something similar by the beginning of Sefer Shmos, by Paro. If he doesn't know who Yosef is and doesn't appreciate all that Yosef did for Mitzrayim, so then the next step is Mi Hashem, that I should listen to. Who's Hashem? If you don't know the people in your life that have helped you, then you can't know what Kadosh Baruch Hu is either. And if we do appreciate our parents, so then we can appreciate HaKadosh Baruch Hu as well. Now the Gemara tells us that the Pasuk tells us that Kibud Av V'Aim leads to Arichas Yamin. So the Gemara tells us that Arichas Yamin is not in this world, it's in the next world. Schar b'hai Amaleka. There's no schar in this world. The Or HaChaim HaKadosh points out that even though it says Lamay Ya'arichu Yamecha, it doesn't say Hashem says Ani, I will be Ma'arich your Yamin. So the Or HaChaim HaKadosh wants to say that even though the Schar B'Hai Amaleka, mitzvah still has some sort of Sgula Dika power in this world, and one of those powers is Arichus Yamin. Aside for what the Torah promises, which is more of an Arichus Yamin in the next world, whatever that means. The Torah points out that there are 17 extra letters in the Parshas Va'aschanan, in the midst of Kibud Av V'Aim, than we have in Parshas Yisro. And those 17 letters is Gematria Tov, and that's what the Pasuk says in the second Dibros, L'man Yitav Lach, something that leads to Tov. Now, this Or HaChaim HaKadosh answered up a question I had on Rav Nevenzel Shlita. From them, it's the Rebbe of the Old City. So the doctor told him he needs to exercise. So he got an exercise bike. He's on an exercise bike. He's a big person. This story happened many years ago. He was a big person even then. And he's schwitzing on the exercise bike. And his mother sees him on the exercise bike and says, "What are you doing? That's not respectful. You're the chief rabbi of the Old City. You don't belong on an exercise bike." This is the doctor says, "I need to exercise." So his mother says, "Nah, you walk up and down the stairs in the Old City, that's enough exercise, you don't need the bike." So that he closed up the bike, never to touch it ever again. The doctor says to exercise, maybe it'll lengthen my life, maybe it won't. But my mother tells me to put it away, keep it aim, so then for sure it's going to lead to Arichas Yamim, so that's a more powerful school of Arichas Yamim, it put away the bike. So when I heard the story, he asked his son, but that's against the Gemara. Because the Gemara says that the Arichas Yom of the Pasuk is Schar B'Hai Al-Malak. It's not in this world. That's what called Acher. Gemara says that's what led Acher astray. He saw a father to command the son to climb the tree and send away the mother bird and take the babies. The two mitzvahs that promised Arichas Yomim. And the kid fell and he died. So Acher went off to death. So the Gemara says, Acher made a mistake. Schar B'Hai Al-Malak. The Schar promised in the Torah is not in this world. It's in the next world. Whatever Arichas Yomim in the next world means. But it's not in this world. So I asked one of Renemzo's sons about the story. It's against the Gemara. So he said, kind of right, my father holds that there's something in this world also. So that's what the Or HaChaim HaKadosh says, that there's some Skula Dika Inyan, Kibud Av V'Aim, that he says it's not what the Torah is promising. What the Torah is promising is in the next world, but it's something that happens in the Mele. It happens by itself. It's like this inherent Skula that one who respects his parents has this Arichas Yom. What happened in the story with Acher, I don't know. No, but the story where Achaz saw the boy listening to his father, there's a school that didn't work for the kid. Okay, so that is... Okay, that's a little bit of an introduction to Kibud Av Va'em. Now, as a continuation, let's take a look at the Sif Aleph. So, the Shulchan Aruch tells us, Siman Reish Mem Yoredeya Sif Aleph, Sarech Li Zaher Ma'od B'Kovid Ovid V'Imo U'Vim Mora'am. So we have a mitzvah of kavod, kabeh atzidecha v'zimecha, and mora, fear. Ish imo v'aviv tira'u, to fear one's parents. Okay, the Gemara discusses, and we're going to discuss in Mahalacha, what's the difference between the two. Now, even though the Gemara says, schar b'hai al-malekha, we still relate to the schar written in the Torah. Because the Ramah goes on to tell us, hagah, normally, so we have, let's say, mitzvah, Maseches Makos is built on certain violations of a losase. A person eats pig, chas v'shalom, with witnesses and warning, says chayim makos. He gets 39 makos. What's less well known is that in the olden days, when the Bezdin had the authority to enforce the keeping of mitzvahs, if a person says, I'm not doing this mitzvah, I'm not doing sukkah, I don't believe in sukkah, I'm not building a sukkah, I'm not sitting in a sukkah, so the Gemara says they would force him to build a sukkah. And there they would, according to the Gemara says, they would beat him until he would die. Build a sukkah, whack, no, build a sukkah, whack, no, no. Until he gave in. And even if he was willing to die, then he would die. Until they would kill him. When does Beis Din enforce mitzvahs? So that's by regular mitzvah aseh. But in our case, continues the Ramah, the Kibud Av Va'em is an exception to the rule where Beis Din has the authority and can force him to do the mitzvah. Why? The Havelei mitzvahs aseh shematan schara b'tzidah. It's a positive commandment that has the schar written on the side next to it in the pasuk. She'ein bezdin kofin aleha. The Gemara tells us when the schar is written next to the mitzvah, so then the bezdin does not enforce the fulfillment of such a positive command. Meaning the idea is, this is the schar. This idea, how it fits in with the Gemara that says the schar is not in this world at all. Okay, maybe it's using the Orachaim HaKadosh, no. But if one fulfills the mitzvah, this is the reward. If he doesn't fulfill the mitzvah, so he doesn't get that reward. But the Beis Din is not going to, that's all that's done to him. The Beis Din is not going to go after him. Now, so that's what Rashi says in Chulin. That if you don't fulfill the mitzvah, so that's your onesh, that you don't get the arichas yomim that the Torah promises. Again, it's kind of subtle, because the Gemara understands arichas yomim is not in this world, it's in the next one. Now, there are a number of mitzvahs that are brought down as exceptions to the rule. There's a big taz over here, the very first taz in Hilchos Kibud Av Va'em. So there's a Gemara in Chulin and Daf Kuf Yud. They brought in somebody who was not respecting his parents. They tied him up. They're ready to beat him up until he accepts upon himself to accept the mitzvah of Kibud Av Va'em. Comes in Ramari and says, leave him alone. And this is actually one of the sources in Shas. Leave him alone. It's a mitzvah sa'aseh shematan schar b'tzidah, and Beis Din is not commanded to enforce such a mitzvah. And that braisa is brought down in Ksuvis Andaf Peivav. In Ksuvis Andaf Peivav, it brings down a braisa and says, when do we have 39 makos? That's by those assays. But by mitzvahs assay, like building a sukkah, makin oso acha teitze nafsha. They hit him until he accepts upon himself to keep the mitzvah. And if he doesn't accept it, they're going to kill him until he dies. That's Okay, Rashi and Ksuvos. Ah, Rashi and Ksuvos explained. By a low say, why are you hitting him? You're hitting him to punish him. You're hitting him to give him a kapara for what he did wrong. By the assay, but he already ate the pig. You can't turn back the pot. You can get him to do tshuva. You can't turn back the pot. He ate the pig. He ate the mitzvahs of Rosh Hashanah. Next week is Rosh Hashanah. He said, I'm not listening to shofar, no matter what. Yes, you are. Whack. So we have the mitzvah in front of us, and they literally want to force him to do it, and they have the right to force him until he dies. Now, there's another mitzvah brought down in the Chumash called Hashavas HaAvot, returning a collateral. You lend somebody money. Well, first of all, there's a mitzvah to pay back a loan, and they would force someone to fulfill the mitzvah of paying back the loan, which we can understand more because someone else is involved over here. And then there's a mitzvah, if you took collateral, that you return the collateral. If he needs his blanket to sleep at night, you have to return it every night. If he needs his drill to work by day, you have to return it by day. So they discuss, so what's the point of taking, what does it help to have the collateral if you keep returning it? How does it help? Okay, so that's discussed in different places. So the pasuk says in Dvarim Chav Daled Yukim, well, that when you return the collateral, so that you will be blessed, and it will be considered a righteousness in front of Hashem. So there's a schar written in the Chumash that you will be blessed for returning it, and therefore Beis Din does not have to force you to return the collateral. Person. He has to do what the Torah says, but Beis Din is not going to enforce. He says, I'm not returning the collateral. Torah says you have to. It's not like a sukkah that they'll beat him up. They're not going to beat him up because the Torah says a reward. When the Torah says a reward, so then we don't enforce the fulfillment of the mitzvah, that he will be blessed. Now, the Ramah points out over there, this is a very controversial Ramah, that if the Beis Din wants to enforce it, they can. It's optional. Over here, the Ramah doesn't say that. Here he just says, Beis Din does not enforce mitzvahs that are not... Beis Din does not enforce mitzvahs that have a star written next to it. In Choshen Mishpat, the Ramah says that there's an option to enforce it. So, why did the Ramah not say that over here? Does the Beis Din have the right, if they would so choose, to enforce keeping out of the aim or not? So there's a big machlokas over here, machlokas achronim. There's a sma in Yoredeya, I'm sorry, a sma in Choshen Mishpat over there. And he wants to say that there's a difference. Because the collateral that you're supposed to give back, that's really in the... Oh wait, there's another mitzvah. Hold on. There's one other mitzvah that relates to this. There's a few others. There's a bunch of other mitzvahs. There's a mitzvah tzedakah that hopefully we'll get to soon after Kibbut Al-Vahim. Some in Reish Mem Ches. We're in Reish Mem. In 8 Simanim comes Hilchos Kibbut Al-Vahim. Comes Hilchos Tzedakah. And it says if you do the mitzvah tzedakah, you will be blessed. And then we have Gemaras over there where Rava forced someone to give tzedakah. That's... Tosis asks the question, why are you forcing him to give tzedakah? It's a matan schar v'tzidi, you're not supposed to do that. Tosis over there gives four answers. We'll save that for another time. Then, there's a mitzvah on the... Someone owes money, and he dies. There's a mitzvah on the yorshim, on the inheritors, on the children, to pay up the father's debt. So... Let's say he didn't leave over, and if he left land, so like a lien on the character, there's a lien on the land. But if he didn't leave over land, only left over only a Swiss bank account. So, if he only left over metal, immovable objects, so they're not going to force the inheritors to pay back. Now the question is, why not? So, the Sma brings down that the Torah holds that paying back your father's debt is a mitzvah, keep it out of air. So just like over here, Mayechas keep it on the aim, we don't enforce it. We're also not going to enforce paying back the debt, the father's debt, which is a fulfillment of Kibbut Avraham. Then it gets into, well, what about the fact that Beis Din has the option to repay the debt? Like, Beis Din has the option to force him, even when the scar is written on the side. So that's a discussion. And then we have the contradiction between the Ramah over here, and the Ramah over there. Now, it is a machlokes. The Ramban holds that Beis Din has the right to force, even though they don't have to force. Tosfos on the Rosh say no, the Beis Din doesn't force at all. So that's already a big machlokes, and it seems like, so there, again, there's a big machlokes achronim, how to understand this. So the Taz over here understands that just like over there in Choshen Mishpat, the Ramah says the Beis Din has the right to enforce it, the Beis Din over here also has the right to enforce it. The Ramah didn't say it, but there's a right to enforce it. He just says they would do a little forcing. We'll do a big forcing. And he gives a case in the Gemara. They tied the guy up, they're ready to hit him. That's enough. You embarrass him, you tied him up, you showed him who's boss. You don't have to go all the way. You do a little bit of a kfir. That's the notion of the Taz over here. You do a little bit of forcing. The Sma over there wants to say that there's a difference, because when you're forcing him to return the collateral really is in the possession, doesn't belong to the lender, it belongs to the borrower. So you're forcing him to give back something that really he belongs to him. The collateral really belongs to the guy to whom it belongs, to the one who borrowed the money. So you're forcing him to give it back. When you're forcing someone to do other things, you're taking money out of them. That we're not going to go so far as to take money, force. Now, keep it out of the able to discuss. Who has to put the bill? The father wants a hamburger. Who has to pay for the hamburger? The father pays for the hamburger, or the kid is obligated to pay for the hamburger? That's a whole sugya that we're going to learn. So this is usually you're taking money out of a person. That Father Ramban doesn't want to do, because it's a big machlokes. So some Rosh don't believe in it at all. Ramban says you can do it if you want to do it. Take money away from somebody to do the mitzvah, when the person is not obligated to force it. But when the money is already supposed to be in the possession of the borrower, it really belongs to the borrower. It's not considered taking money away from the lender, because that money doesn't belong to the lender. That's a collateral that really belongs to the borrower. And therefore, there he doesn't mind telling us to beat the guy up until you can get back the collateral for if Beis Din wants to. They don't have to, but they can do it to get the money back, to get the collateral back for the power. So that is Siman Reish Mem. You're there, Reish Mem, Sif Aleph.